Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on December 3rd, 2013 at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 8 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, Promises. This week's story comes to us from John Engen and is titled Owls. Thank you for listening.
I'm in the business, it turns out, of making promises. Tend to make promises to other people on a 4-year cycle. Promises to myself much more frequently. I tend to be more successful in delivering on some of those promises that I make to others, that I make to you, than I tend to be in making them to myself. And wasn't really sure what I wanted to discuss with you this evening, but it occurs to me I've got a couple of relatively quick stories. I do want to tell you, however, that before I was all those things that Mark suggested, I was a very young man in Missoula, Montana, and the Top Hat was not nearly this nice. And one of the promises I do recall making is, after a fairly long evening at the Top Hat, was never, ever coming back to the Top Hat again. That was one of those Saturday morning promises that sort of shifted into a noon idea. And around 6 o'clock, a memory. And I would come back again, and the music would be cool, and I would not be, and I would endeavor to dance in the way that only a young Norwegian man can. This is so not like a council meeting. So that was one of the promises broken. So I'll talk to you a little bit about a promise kept, a promise broken. I made a promise in 1989 to love, honor, and obey my wife, and that happened in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, because as we were considering the notion of a large wedding involving my wife's family, my family, and our friends, we decided we didn't want to do that because it would involve our families and friends. And so it became much more expedient for us to drive to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, where at that time, at least, no blood test was required, nor did we require witnesses. I haven't actually asked Trace to this date why she wasn't interested in having a blood test or witnesses. But I suspect it was some form of insurance that she has yet to cash in. At any rate, we drove to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, in my very swank Honda Accord, which had a cassette player. The cassette player at that time played nothing but the finest in very hip, again, Norwegian young man music, and in fact, once my car was broken into, rifled through considerably, somebody took about $5, left all of my cassette tapes behind. And I still love the sounds of silence, and I will stand by parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Drove to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. On the way, the car had some difficulties, started smoking. We were climbing a hill. And my bride-to-be at that point began questioning whether this was a good idea in general. And so I began a series of promises reassuring her we'd be fine, we were going to get where we needed to go, which was over the hill and and we'd be just fine. We got over the hill. We got to Coeur d'Alene. We went to the courthouse. We got a license. It cost $42. And we went to the Hitchin Post, which is, yeah, it's Las Vegas without any sex appeal. And the Right Reverend Don Knapp, as I recall, a man 4 to 7 times my age at that time, and about 10 to 12 times smaller, hit the tape deck. We had the wedding music. His wife was there. There was a ceremony. I cried. Trey smiled. We left. And we were on our way to our honeymoon. Our honeymoon, so that was the promise, all right? I promised to love, honor, and obey. And the honeymoon was going to involve a bed and breakfast, which in the early 80s was a semi-relatively new kind of concept and very hip. And so it would come to pass that rather than stay at a hotel, which would feature, say, a vibrating bed and cable, and some things never change. I still have a thing about vibrating beds and cable. Trace had booked a reservation at a place called the Owl Chalet in Plummer, Idaho. I'd never been to Plummer, Idaho. It is not spelled with a B as I had imagined. And it turns out that July 14th, 1989, it was about 107 degrees in the Honda Accord that had no air conditioning but a swank tape deck. And so it ended up being we took the scenic route around Lake Coeur d'Alene, which adds 7 to 10 hours to the 3.5 mile journey. Arrived at the Owl Chalet, and we were very much looking forward to this because we were newly married, and very, very hot and tired. And the only thing that Trace really wanted out of this whole deal was a bath. I, frankly, was old hat by this time for a number of reasons. Again, Norwegian. She wanted a bath to cool off, relax, and enjoy the fact that we had accomplished this thing and we would go back to our families here in Missoula and celebrate. And so we arrived at the Owl Chalet and we were greeted by the hostess who was a lovely woman, but did not in any of the advertising materials, and remember this is pre-worldwide interweb, in none of the advertising materials, but for the photocopy brochure, did she mention that the owls were not actual owls, in the conventional sort of live bird sense. And in fact, these owls were all made of materials that don't occur in nature. They were all sizes. In many cases, they didn't represent actual owls. They were very abstract. In other cases, they were very owl-like in a very creepy, taxidermed way. And there were, I believe, hundreds and hundreds of these owls. And we had not yet gone inside the Owl Chalet. And our hostess, I said, "Wow, you have a lot of owls." And the hostess said, "Well, you know, they're not all here. I have quite a few of them in town for plumber days." I don't know what plumber days is. Didn't know. All I knew, plenty of owls so far. So we're escorted into the place where no owls actually live in the chalet. There were additional owls inside, some almost life-size, many painted with extraordinarily large eyes that followed you in a way that made me feel dirty in some ways. And we were taken to the bridal suite of the Owl Chalet, which was comprised of a heavily paneled room, a stand-up shower, that's no bathtub, the only thing my wife wanted, and over what I referred to as the marriage bed, a very large photograph of our hostess's entire family. most of whom looked a little like I do today, but with overalls, and the women generally looking more like me than the men. At which point my wife began to weep. And I realized this was not going to work out for any of us. And she was experiencing a lot of discomfort. And so our hostess left the room, and I said, "What do you want to do here?" And she said, "Oh." And I said, "I'll take care of it." So I went to our hostess, and I lied. I said, "You know, we're going to run into town here for just a minute because we forgot some essentials." And so we ran into town, and then I called from town because I am Norwegian and didn't want to look this woman in the eye and say, "Wow, we can't handle this whole scene." And so we canceled the reservation, said thank you very much, happy to pay for the room. And we went about trying to find some place to stay in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, on what apparently was the biggest sports championship extravaganza of the decade. And so I would go from hotel to hotel and say, "Is there room at the inn?" And over again, the answer was no, there are no vacancies. And I said, "Well, can you point me in the general direction of the next place I should go so that we can find some comfort? Because you see, ma'am, I was just married and my wife is, well, she's feverish in the car and we'd like to find a place to stay." And the answer remained no. And it was no and no and no and no and no until finally we arrived at what I'm going to say. Just pick a number and put super in front of it. And again, this is 30 years ago, and it wasn't as super as you might think. But when I went in, I said, "Don't imagine you have a vacancy." "Why, yes, we have a vacancy." "Really? Well, in fact, I hope you don't mind. The only room we have left is the honeymoon suite." I said, "Sold. We'll take that." So heart-shaped tubs are weird to start with. They're much weirder in a discount motel. But there was shelter, and there was a convenience store across the street. My wife was able to take a soothing bath. I was able to go get a six-pack and some Cheetos. And we settled in to a marriage that's lasted to this day. Thank you. Number two, really quickly. So fathers are a bit of a theme this evening, and I think a lot about mine. This time of year in particular, my dad died in 2010, and his birthday is right around the corner. He would have been 92. And we had a tacit agreement, my father and I, and that was that I would take care of him. And whatever happened, I was going to take care of him. And toward the end of his life, he had all sorts of difficulties. Couldn't breathe in some cases, couldn't think, but had these moments of absolute lucidity. And he was very there and very aware. And during one of those moments, he said to me, "I hope I'm worth all this goddamn trouble." And I said, "Pop, there is no question to me that you're worth all the trouble." And one of the promises that was implied in our relationship was that I wasn't going to let anything he didn't want to have happen to him happen to him. But at the end of his life, after a stay in the hospital, no ability for my mother to care for him, no capacity for us to care for him at our home, he went to a nursing home, and I took him there, and he didn't know he was going. And he didn't know he was there until he'd been there for about half a day, and then the lights went on like that. And he looked at me, and I've never seen my dad look at me in that way, because I had violated, I think, that promise to him in his mind, right? I had not done what he needed me to do. And I have no idea to this day how I would have fixed that, how I would have kept that promise. And hardly a day goes by when I don't think about what I could have done differently, how I might have engaged differently, what I might have been able to say to him before the fact. And so my dad died in a nursing home alone, and every day of my life I regret that. I was there 4 hours before he died, and almost immediately thereafter, but wasn't there when it mattered. And I don't say all of that to bum you out, because we just heard an interesting story about owls. But I do tell you that because our theme this evening is promise. And what I can tell you is that every day holds at least one for each of us or more, and we have a chance, together or apart, every day to make one, to keep one, to fulfill one. Maybe we even make a promise to ourselves and keep it. So what I hope for you all is that tonight and tomorrow and the next day and every day thereafter holds nothing but promise, and that most of them you can keep. And the ones that you don't, you'll find forgiveness, and you'll make the next promise. Wish I hadn't quit drinking. Thank you, folks.
Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. Thanks to the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, film, and performance art. TopHatLounge.com. Jonathan Marquis. Jonathan Marquis is an artist and human in Missoula, Montana. Learn more about him and his art at SubjectToGravity.com. That's Subject, the number 2, Gravity.com. Matt LaRubio, screen printing and graphic design. Learn more about Matt and what he has to offer at RanchHandDesign.com. Rockin' Rudy is your source for the best music, gifts, and more. Great music, great people, RockinRudy's.com. And thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and to the storytellers, Gregory T. Johnson, Susie Risho, Samuel Jackson Enemy Hunter, Stephanie Wing, Taj Chelland, John Engen, Amy Rosendahl, Andrea Davis, and Michael Marsalek. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for February 11th at the Top Hat. The theme is, What Are You Waiting For? The official Tell Us Something site is tellussomething.org. Thank you again for your support and your interest in live storytelling and local art here in Missoula, Montana.